We're chosen. We're here. You know, this generation, Joshua's generation, that cross over, was a generation that suddenly came to a place and said, we will believe God. We'll believe him. We have come to know who we are. You know, some of the reproaches that come against you and against churches is this. God's never going to do it here. God's never going to use you. God doesn't love you. God hasn't really chosen you. You just had cheese one night and... kind of, seriously, can you think, how is it that any of us can have the belief that we've got unless God revealed it to us? You know, how are we prepared to believe this unless God? There's no way I would have come up with this. There's no way I'd give my life to this. There's no way I'd do the things I do but God. God's looking for a people. God's looking for a people who say, we will believe him. See, the issue was that they believed the reproach. The reproach got into them. The reproach shaped them. And I think sometimes in Wales, the reproach gets us. You know, we're terrors for having chips on our shoulder, the Welsh. Yeah, look down upon, put ourselves down. We're nothing. You know, oh, well, we... You know, it gets me. Why is it emotionally the rugby so affects me? Because that is one thing I can think we could be good at. So when England beat us again, you sit there and think, at least at the moment, no, we won't go there. At the moment, we're winning and they're losing. Anyway, kind of, it's the reproach of we're small. And actually, we can get that into us. We can get it into the church. Oh, we're not like the church across the border. They've got money, they've got everything. Oh, it's hard here. It's really hard here. I remember when I first went to the leader church in Stockport, I said, let's do an alpha course. And the leadership team looked at me and said, it doesn't work here. I said, sorry, it doesn't work here. I said, so it works everywhere else, but doesn't work here. Yeah, that's right, it doesn't work here. So I just felt, we've got to do something about that. So I was stupid. I said, right, we're going to take Stockport County Football Ground, going to take their big conference room, and we're going to put on an alpha for 120 people. And they said, how much is that going to cost? I said, I have no idea. So I went to see them. Came and said, £6,000. There's this leaders' meeting of silence. And someone said, but it doesn't work here. I said, do you know what? We're going to find out one way or another. But I said, the good news is, we have to do two to do this, and we get free tickets for all the football matches, 10 free tickets for every home match. They weren't very popular. And but we also got to have a sign. And so I went, and part of it, we got this advertising hoarding, and I turned up to the ground and said, you know, where's the advertising, where can we have it? And they took me to the away supporters' end and showed me this little sign and said, this is where your sign will be. I said, no, I don't want it here. I want it for people to see, not... People, and then I looked up, and oh, by the grace of God, they had, in those days, ITV Digital was sponsoring Championship football, and they had ITV Digital, this big sign on the board. I looked up and said, see that? I said, they've just gone bankrupt, haven't they? Yeah, yeah. I said, you don't want to be advertising ITV Digital, do you? No, no, no. So I tell you what, you could put Stockport Family Church up there, right next to McDonald's and Royal Bank of Scotland. We can have that for the same price. How's that? And they said, well, to be honest, because we've got to get rid of that, we'll do it. So we had this. The great thing is the following week, Sale Sharks move into the ground, which meant suddenly Sky Sports came in. So every Friday night, there was a match at Edgeley Park. Stockport Family Church were advertised. Our alpha course, we saw 120 people on it. We saw 60 people respond to the gospel. It was fantastic. Why? Because that won't let the reproach shape us. There are reproaches against you, against this church in this area. Nothing can happen in Bremer. The valleys, or the history of the valleys is great, but not now. Can't happen again. God wants a people who will believe him. He wants a people who say, do you know what? We believe it can be done. We believe God's called us. We believe it can happen. See, what about us? Well, the great message today, and you'll be very relieved, is it's not about a little operation. There's no requirement for us to have a little operation. But there is a requirement to make ourselves utterly vulnerable. And the vulnerability is this. The entire Christian faith is based on us coming to Christ and saying, we've blown it. The entire thing for us, circumcision, is circumcision of the heart. It's the whole of us. We present all that we are before him. Not what you like to. Not your Facebook page. Not what you want people to see. Or when you think people's birthdays are. You want to be able to bring all of yourself. The stuff that only you know about, he wants brought before him. The good, the bad, the ugly. All of it. You bring before him. You make yourself utterly vulnerable. And say, you are my God. And he says, and you are my son and daughter. There's this amazing moment. This incredible transfer takes place. We become his, and he becomes ours. The one extraordinary thing is this, you don't get to keep yourself. Transfer, you get him, and he gets you. You don't hold on to you. It stops being about you. And it becomes about him. And God is looking for a people who will say, God, I want to live for you. I want my actions to be for you. I want my character to be transformed by you. I want your spirit filling me so I can be more like you. Everything changes. He's looking for a people who will say, I believe in you, God. I believe. And I don't want the reproach to get in. So let's hit some reproaches. Finance. You know, actually, one of the reproaches for us in the church is this. I trust God with everything but my money. Hold on. That's mine. That's mine. And then you look at Scripture and realize it's all his. By the grace of God, he lets us keep some of it. It's all his. And so the challenge suddenly comes to this. The Old Testament talks about the tithe. 10%. You have to leave. It's the law. Give 10%, give 10%. In fact, if you read it, there's lots of 10%. It gets very confusing about the amount of offerings, but there's always a tithe, the tithe. The New Testament is all about grace. It's not legalism. It doesn't say you have to do this. It says give in faith. So suddenly, it becomes between you and God. What have you got faith to give? Faith. And the reproach is this. Do we trust him enough to say, if I give you this, you'll bless me. Now, me and Liz have just gone through an extraordinary 2 years. And some of you will know, when we first planted the church, there was a certain amount of funding for me that came from Robina for a period of time. Though hilariously, most of the time, I had the funding, I was working for them. But it was kind of, but there was this moment where I knew the funding was coming to an end. And, you know, people used to come up to me and say, are you worried about it? I used to be this great man of faith. I'd say, no, not worried at all. Trusting God. Truth was, I knew what Liz was earning. I knew what she was earning as a manager of a nursing home. And I wasn't that worried because I knew we'd be all right. And then, of course, a month before my money comes to an end, I get a phone call from Liz. At work, in a horrible situation. Her company were trying to run the home down because they wanted to buy it. The inspectors were wanting all this other stuff being done. Liz had taken the home into a voluntary embargo. And then suddenly there's a horrible moment where you realize, hold on, we haven't got any money. We've got no income coming in. 5 kids, mortgage, no income. And it was this terrifying moment. And I did have headless chicken moment, right? I'm going to be honest. I was running around thinking, get a job, get a job, get a job, get a job, get a job. I've run a company. I'm rubbish at that, really rubbish at that. Help, help, help. What can I do? I can do something. And then God said, stop! Will you let me now teach you what it is to live by faith? I fought that. I was rubbish at it. I kind of found myself wanting, praying for preaching engagements, just to, you know, and it was just ridiculous. And then, just when I came to a place of peace and said, okay, God, I will trust you, I get a phone call from a church in Sheffield. So he rang and said, we just had an offering for you. I sent a check. This check came into our account. Suddenly, we had money for 4 months, 5 months. It's great. And then suddenly then another thing came and another thing came. And in all of that, we felt God say, do you still trust me to keep giving, to keep being generous? So every Tuesday night at that time, we fed the whole church. We'd have them round. And people were saying, you know, put it in the expenses, go on. We felt God say, no, trust me, trust me. We've now gone 2 years, and our standard of living has not decreased any way. And I sit there and think, I don't know how. I don't know how. I don't know how it's happened, but it's happened. Now, by the grace of God, not everyone needs to walk through this walk. I haven't got any hair. But I do know this. Don't let reproaches and the enemy get you by saying, hey, you can't give. Because if you do, you won't be able to do this. And you won't be able to do that. Remember, we've got a generous God. We trust him. We trust him. God's looking for a people who will say, we believe you. We believe you with our children. We believe you that we trust that our kids will be people who are witnesses to you. We trust them to you. We are going to be people who, in our workplace, trust. If we say we are of God, that actually we will reflect him to those around us. You know, there's a horrible moment. I have it every time when someone turns to me and says, so what do you do for a living? And everything in you wants to make something up. You know, something in you. Just think, well, you know, I work for a charitable trust. Sounds nice. It's true as well. But actually, to say I lead a church, you think that's going to kill the conversation. Every time I'm honest and say I work for the church, I go, oh, that's interesting. What sort of thing do you do? Well, that's what the people in the church would like to know. And then you go into the conversations. Every time. Paul writes in Romans, I am not ashamed of the gospel. God's looking for a people who say, I am not ashamed of my God. I do believe he has the best for me. I do believe he has purposes for me. I do believe I'm of use to him. And I can tell you you're used to him. Do you know how? Because you're still breathing. The moment you've finished what God's got before you, you'll know. Because you'll be looking at him face to face. Oh, my work is done. And now eternity, here I am. The moment, unfortunately, you're looking at me. Which means God's still got purpose for you. There's things he's got. All he's looking for is a people who will say, you are our God. And who will present ourselves. Romans 12, verses 1 to 2 says, I urge you. I love this. Paul, it's almost this desperation in his spirit. He can't order you, but he urges you. He says, I urge you, present yourself as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God as your act of spiritual worship. And do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's an amazing thing that actually what God's looking for is that people who say, here I am. I believe you. I trust you. I want to give myself to you. Can I just make one last comment, and then we're going to go into some ministry. We can get upset by the most stupid things in church life. Seriously. You know, things can really get us. And it always amazes me how really silly things can upset people. So you change the chairs. Oh, I don't like it like this. Don't like that. Oh, I've changed the PA. Don't like that. Turn it. Oh, we've done this. Don't like that. Oh. Do you know what? It says this. You're living with reproaches. You're living with reproaches that are shaping you. You're living with something that's got into you. That you, who you are is seen in what how things are. Who you are is seen in your position, in your role. Actually, if we say, God, I am yours, we're open to whatever God's got for us. And we trust him with whatever he's got. And actually, there's a peace that comes with that. There's a peace that is phenomenal because your peace is this. I trust him. So actually, this people who cross into the Jordan have to trust God. They can have a minor operation, puts them out of action, and trust that we're not going to be taken over right now because we're his people and he's our God and he's going to give us the land. You know, God's got great plans for you. For each of you. When he called you, he's given you things to do. He's going to anoint you. All we need to do is say, Lord, I'm yours. But also, some of the reproaches that have been brought against you, like that one my teacher brought about languages, can shape us, can influence us. And God wants to come today. And it's like taking labels off you. You know, suddenly say, no, you're not like that. No, you're not like that. No, that doesn't define you. No, you aren't what your history says you are. You're something much more precious because I give it to you. Suddenly, we're not defined by what has been other than Christ, but we're defined by who he's called us to be. I don't know about you, but I find that more exciting than looking through old school reports. I find that more exciting than thinking about the rubbish that people have said about me. I find that more releasing than what other people's view is. I want to hear what God says, and I want to be transformed by him, not conformed to what others are telling me I am. A generation left Egypt and were conformed by what the Egyptians said they were. The next generation were transformed by who God wanted them to be. Who do we want to be? The conformers or the transformers? Do you want to be the people who are God's, who live for God, sold out for God, and are defined by God? Or do we want the people who say, yeah, I kind of believe God, but actually, God, have you heard what people are saying? You know, it's amazing, and I will end with this. The disciples were always the ones who told Jesus what the Pharisees were saying. Do you ever notice that? The disciples who had kind of stepped out to follow Jesus, but they were obviously a little bit nervous. So they're always the ones going to be saying, Jesus, the Pharisees are saying this about you. That's really helpful, isn't it? Yeah, it's really helpful when someone comes and says, do you know what? Some people in the church have said this. Well, who? Oh, I can't tell you. In that case, I ignore it. You know, unless someone's got the guts to have a name, I don't listen. But actually, there's that thing of, you know, do you know what's fascinating? After Pentecost, there's no, hey, have you heard what the Pharisees are saying? When they're full of the Spirit, they're caught up on the mission of Jesus. They're caught up on bringing the kingdom. And actually, suddenly, they're the ones standing in front of the Pharisees and Sadducees and saying, actually, do you know what? We're going to trust Jesus. We're going for him. Changes. They're no longer getting the reproach affecting them. They're getting what God's calling them. Can we stand, please? If you're able to. Okay, we're just going to... It's going to come before God right now. Father, we just present ourselves before you as living sacrifices. Father, thank you for us. This is circumcision. Because Christ was circumcised, we don't need to. Because we're now in Christ. Because of who he is, we can stand now before the Father. And we know we're loved because we're in him. And Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, just come. Just come in this room, Lord. Just fill us right now. If you know there are reproaches, that have been things that have been said about you, that have held you back and have shaped your thinking and your actions, do you want to just lift your hands? You know the things that people have said. People's expectation of you has shaped who you are. Just feel the Spirit wants to come right now and like ripping off labels. You know when you go to an event and you've got, they stick a thing, hi, my name's Andrew. And then you go out and you're walking around the town and you've got that label on you. And suddenly that moment you realize I'm walking into W.H. Smith with, hi, my name's Andrew. And you rip it off. Out of embarrassment. I just feel God saying, he's coming now to rip off those labels that were defining you. It's coming, Holy Spirit, now just come. Lord, what people have said, the limitations, just feel that. There's someone here who people have said, you can't do this because you're not good enough. And God says, I'm going to rip that off you right now. Taking that off. There's someone else labels this, you won't be able to do anything because your brain doesn't work right. So someone said that. Your brain's not wired properly. God says, take that off you, because I've called you. Someone else, for things you've done and the things you've seen, no one's going to accept you. And God says, I can use you back into the places where the things you've seen and done, you can bring healing. And Lord, I want to pray as well for the church here, who say, never going to go anywhere. We look to you and say, God, it can change a town. It can change a community. It can change a nation. Lord, we look to you. Take away the reproaches. Come on now, let's lift our voices and just tell him that we are his, that we're his people, that you're his. Commit yourself again to the him. Say, God, you're mine, and I'm yours. I won't keep myself anymore. I give myself totally to you, and I receive all that you've got. Come on, let's just lift our voices together. Oh, Lord. Be useful to you. Oh God, come now. Come now. Come now. And Father, I want to pray now that we would truly be a people who say, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God to salvation. I'm not going to be ashamed of who you've made me to be. Lord, I want to pray for a new boldness. I want to pray for a new confidence right across this room to go for it in Jesus, to shine for you, to confess we know you. Lord, I pray for that with our neighbours and our friends, not ashamed of what you've done, not affected by the reproach. Lord, I pray for our insecurity, saying, but people won't like me. And Lord, actually that sense of, actually no, it's not a popularity competition, it's about knowing Jesus. And actually it's that relationship. I pray, God, help us. Lord, take away the fear of man from us. Lord, so much of us is affected by not wanting to please people, wanting to help people, wanting, Lord, all good things sometimes, but sometimes it just shapes us and affects us and makes us totally ineffective for you. So God, I pray now, Lord, that actually this church will have a very clear witness, very clear prophetic voice right into the heart of this town and this community. In your awesome name, please. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Have you got a song? Okay. What are we going to sing? We're going to sing No Longer Slaves. Do you know it?